Right, okay, so... So who have we got here today? Any guesses? Who's this?
Snow White.
Snow White, go on. Any other guesses? Any other guesses? Is that right? Right? No, that's not right, okay? Go on, have we got any other guesses? Go on, well, who's this today then? Nice, but wrong, okay? Go on, any guesses for the last one? Loads of very interesting guesses, but again, that is wrong. So we're going to watch a video now. Right, get ready to watch the video.
Who am I? Am I what I do? An artist? An accountant? A teacher? A mother? Or am I what I've achieved? An honor student? An MVP? A winner? Am I the things I've done right? Or am I defined by the things I've done wrong? Am I a saint? A sinner? What about what others think of me? Am I all of these things? None of these things? Who am I? How I identify myself determines how I approach life. If I am what I do, I'll always need to do more and achieve more to find my value. If I am what others say, I'll always try to please people instead of my Heavenly Father. But if I listen to who God says I am and embrace His identity in me, I'll find the freedom to live out all He has planned for me. God calls me His child. He says I am wise and restored, that I'm a brand new creation in Christ. I am chosen and holy and blameless before God. He calls me His masterpiece. I am loved by God. He says I am made complete through the grace and mercy of Jesus, my Savior. And when I see myself the way God sees me, I walk with confidence because I trust the one who answers the question, who am I?
Right, okay, so now who do you think these kids are? Any guesses? Go on. A child of God, yeah, exactly. So they are wise and restored. They are children of God. They are a new creation. They are chosen. Okay, so I'll hand over to Paul.
So this morning, that's what we're going to look at. The song we sang, Who Do You Say I Am? That's what we're going to look at. So the next part is, and we'll see whether the kids are happy to volunteer for this. I've got a chain. So do you want to wrap a chain around you? Only those that want to be wrapped, you know. You wrap it around your dad. That's more fun, isn't it? And then do you want to lock it? Yeah, lock it. Lock it around your dad. Put it around your dad and lock it. There we go. Yeah, lock it, yeah. It's what? A good lock? It's a special lock, it is. It's designed for putting my keys in when I go surfing, so I can lock them onto my car. So, Sam's locked up. Is he locked up? Yep. Brilliant. So, let's have a look at this. So, we're going to have a look at this verse. Have I gone too far? I don't know. That was the points off the video. You can tell I haven't animated this, Connie. There we go. Oh, my verse isn't on there. Oh, well, so the verse I was going to look at is, which you all would have heard. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples and you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. So do you think we should set Sam free? No, I reckon. So the code for the lock before you do anything is 2623, right? Wait, don't touch the lock. Yeah, I know, but wait. So 2623 is the code. So if you all see my car parked at the beach now, you'll all be able to nick my car. But so 2623, is Sam free now he knows the truth? No, why? Because he has to action it, right? So now you can set yourself free and action it. So some of what we'll say this morning, you would have heard before. But the issue is, just because we know it doesn't mean that truth sets us free. that has transformed our life. So as we explore today's topic, we wanted to be open to actually not just close off to go, I know that, but actually assess, have I activated that truth that has brought freedom into my life? Has it changed my life? Because it says, if you continue in my word, i.e. if you abide, there you go, round of applause. Thank you, Minis. You can go to your group. So we have to activate it and apply it so it brings freedom. And so we'll cover a load of stuff this morning, all about our identity. And I'd love you to have an open heart to be actually God. What parts do I need to really grab hold of and not just know, but apply them so it brings a freedom? And as the young people will talk, it's stuff that they've worked through and applied and has brought some change, and they'll reveal some stories on that. So we're going to invite James back.
Right. Hello. So who is God to you? Is God your teacher? Is he your creator, your leader, your protector? Or is he your father? And if so, aren't we more than just followers of the Lord, but aren't we his children? John 1:12 says, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Think of parents. Think of their love for their children. Think of all the things they'll do to protect and care for their children. Like, this is feeble, but staying up late to revise for GCSEs, like my mum did with Laura, and I'm sure all of the parents did. And just little things like that, but that shows immense love. And now, sorry, whatever. So, God has made us because he loves us. And think of everything else that God's made, the planet, everything. And he treasures us the most, like a parent treasures their children the most. Well, my mum might not, but especially when we're being naughty. But if we don't follow God in everything, if we don't show that instantly we are children of God, if we don't associate ourselves as being children of God, then that's almost disrespecting him. Like a child might be like, I don't want to eat that type of pasta, it's not the right one, and something like that. But so we should always be confident in the fact that we are children of God, that we are created, we are loved, we are chosen. So, thank you. Anna's next.
Hello. So, the song, Who You Say I Am, it's one of my favourites. And the chorus bit, when I first heard it, it's sort of Soul Survivor, it really jumped out at me. And I was like, ooh, that's interesting. So, the first chorus is, who the sun sets free, oh, is free indeed, I'm a child of God, yes, I am. So I thought, what does it actually mean to be a child of God? So John 1 verse 12, that's been covered by James, thank you very much. And then I had some other verses. So in Galatians 4 verse 7, it says, now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. So I was like, oh, what does it mean to be an heir of God? So the definition of heir is a person legally entitled to the property or rank of another on that person's death. So my mum used this example, so I'm not being mean, but my mum said, basically, when we die, you'll inherit our stuff. So I was like, okay, bit drastic, please don't die yet, but okay. So this means that when Jesus died for us and rose again, we inherited everything from him. So we inherited eternal life, authority over everything in the name of Jesus, divine health, forgiveness of sin, all spiritual blessings in the heavenly realm, citizenship of heaven, and baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I'm sure there's a load of others, but we don't have enough time. And then in Ephesians 1, verse 11 to 14, it says, furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. God's purpose was that we Jews, who were first to trust in Christ, would bring praise and glory to God. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him. And then the bridge part of the song says, I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. So I thought, who does God say I am? So my identity is in God. So it's not, it's what he says I am. It isn't found in money or my possessions. So this is quite a few years ago, and Evie remembered it, and she jogged my memory. So one time in Jigsaw, we were with Andy Avery, and he was asking us what we thought made us. So I thought, well, I have blue eyes, brown/red hair. I love playing and listening to music and acting, reading, watching films, history and maths. I know maths. Whenever I say that to someone, people are like, you like maths? And I'm like, yeah, it's okay to like maths. Laura understands, though. So I'm fine. But if we took all these things away from me, do you think I'd still be Anna? Yeah. And I would be, because my identity isn't in any of these things. It's in God. So most importantly, I'm a child of God. So, yeah. But God, why I like music and history and acting and music is because who God made me. That's what God made me to be. He didn't think, oh yeah, she can just choose whatever. He was like, oh, I'm going to make her love music and history, because he cares about me so much that he wants to give me what's the word? Passions. There we go. So in Jeremiah verse 1:5, it says, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet of the nations. So God has planted the passion for music and acting in my heart. So it's a part of me. And in Psalms 139, verse 14, it says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. So I'm going to hand over to Laura now.
Thank you. Mine's just a quick story, really, to illustrate what these guys have been saying. So recently I had the long wait between GCSE exams and results day. And for me, it was really fun. It was a great summer, but it was a bit of a limbo. It was for so long my work had defined who I was. And like the video said before, if we are just what we do, then we will always have to do more and achieve more to be us. But my experience was God was so much bigger than this. And for me, things fell into place that protected me from attaching myself to the lie that my results would define who I am. So these protections were in the form of Paul, Soul Survivor, chats and normally food with Mum, and songs and verses that undoubtedly came from our Heavenly Father. The biggest one of these was probably at Soul Survivor. A complete stranger prayed over me that I was Daddy's little girl. And I felt that this was God reminding me that before my exams, before I was even born, my identity was in him and was from him. And the timing was spot on in the way only God can do. The truth that I am a child of God is something that's really settled into my life, and it's absolutely awesome.
Me again. Hi. So the second part of the chorus, it goes, in my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. That also really impacted me. And in John chapter 14, verse 2, it says, there is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? So a couple of weeks ago in TNT, we had a session where we just soaked in the Holy Spirit, and we had some worship music on. And Paul said this verse to us. So we spent the whole TNT time doing that. And I was sat there with my eyes closed, and I visited three of my rooms in heaven. So I knew I had two of them already, but the third one surprised me because I thought, okay, I mean, I don't do that here, but never mind. So the first one that I had was a massive room with floor to ceiling, it was bookshelves surrounding it all, and there was like sofas in there so you could sit and relax. And then the other one was a room filled with instruments and music. Surprise. So I was playing the keys and Jesus was playing the drums. And for some reason, we were both laughing. And I was laughing in the spirit. And I almost started laughing out loud in like where we were. So I told like this to my dad. And my dad said, oh, it's significant that Jesus was playing the drums. And I was like, is it? And he was like, yeah, because I really want to learn how to play the drums. So Jesus was playing the drums because he knows how much I want to play the drums, and that's how well he knows me, that he was playing them. And then the other room that I had was a ballroom, and I was like, okay. I mean, I don't do any type of dance. Whenever I dance, Yvette looks at me and she's like, that was wrong. And I'm like, sorry. So I was dancing with Jesus, which was amazing. And then all of a sudden, my brother, who's in heaven, who I would have been about two, and unfortunately my mum had a miscarriage, and I didn't find out until, I can't remember how old I was when I found out, but I found out I had a brother, and I was like, I have a brother! Oh my gosh, this is amazing! And me being me at that age, I was like, just to check, he is younger than me, right? Because I still wanted to be the oldest. I was like, I want to be the oldest, because it was fun being the oldest. But yeah, so I started crying at that point, but it wasn't because I was upset, it just because God was doing something in me, and I was dancing with my brother, and that was amazing, because my dad and mum had said, you can, like, ask God to go and meet your brother in heaven. And I was like, okay. I mean, I didn't, like, think, well, yeah, that's not going to happen, but I thought, but what if it doesn't? What if I ask him and he's not going to? And he did. So, yeah. So this encounter, like, massively affected me, because I was like, wow, God cares about me so much that he let me see my own brother and play the drums. Like, that's just amazing. So this, from that, I feel like I've grown closer to God, and every day I keep, like, realizing how much more God loves me and how amazing it is, and I just want to keep pursuing him, like, for the rest of my life. So, yeah, thank you. I'm going to hand over to Sam.
Hello. So my topic is how we are chosen, not forsaken. So it's fairly brief. So the Bible has a lot of stuff about this, so I thought I'd read from Ephesians 1, verse 4. And it says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. So I read it, and two words stood out to me there, and that it was how we were chosen and we were blameless. So, yeah. And so then it says in the Bible as well that unbelievers are called sinners and believers are called holy or righteous ones. And so we've already taken a big step in choosing the narrow path. And because of that, we are rewarded with God's love and support. And therefore, we are holy and righteous according to him. So, personally, I struggle sometimes because I don't really feel like I get anything super special from God. But what I have learned over the past couple of years is that just because it's been mentioned quite recently, just because I don't feel him doesn't mean he's not here. And so therefore I can't be forsaken, because God loves me and he chose me and he chose all of us. And when I mess up, or anyone messes up, we are forgiven, and God is a God of love. God is a God of love, and he is perfect. So if God is perfect, then when he says he chose us and that we are holy and righteous, he means it, because God doesn't lie. Therefore, we are chosen and not forsaken. So I just thought I'd finish with Jeremiah 29, verse 11. And it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and for not for evil, to give you a goal and a future and a hope. I'm not sure who's next.
OK,
Okay. This is loud. I'm just going to go straight in. So everybody has different gifts from the Holy Spirit. Most of these, I think they're listed in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 to 11. Not going to read that out, but just so you know. So everybody has different gifts from the Holy Spirit, but we often tend to focus on other people's gifts instead of our own. So we often tend to, like, compare ourselves to others, either by thinking that we're better than someone else or that we're worse than them. So in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 to 6, it says, "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it's the same God at work." So this shows that we've all been given different gifts, but they're all of the same value, and that one gift isn't better than another. An example of a time where, like, I've compared my spiritual gifts to other people's was when, like, watching, like, videos and stuff of God healing people through other Christians. So I started to, like, compare my spiritual gifts, and at the time when I was younger, like, I hadn't properly discovered what they were yet. So I started to compare mine to this one spiritual gift of, like, healing. And, like, the only way that I was able to stop myself from making this comparison was by, like, reminding myself that I also have amazing gifts which are of the same value. And if God wanted me to have this other gift, then he would give it to me in time if I greatly desired it. So instead of comparing ourselves and our gifts, I think the message is that we need to focus on other people. Instead of focusing on other people's gifts, we should focus on who God says we are. And in the song, "I Am Who You Say I Am," the lyrics say, "In my Father's house, there's a place for me." Just what Anna's already mentioned. But yeah, this means that we don't need to compare ourselves and become better than someone else so God accepts us. Because he's already accepted us, and he's given us all individual gifts which don't need any comparisons.
It's a little bit like speed dating, not that I've been, but, you know. it seems important when we talk about Christianity that it's a faith and not a religion, that it's relationship and not about rules. And we all know relationships are a two-way thing. So we've heard about who we are to God, but who is God to us? In Deuteronomy 31, Moses is talking to Joshua, saying that Joshua must lead God's people across the Jordan and into the Promised Land. And he encourages him in verse 8, saying, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged." So Joshua is starting a new job, and what a new job to start. But he knows right from the outset that God is before him and God is in him with that. And I think just how much this truth, taking hold of this truth, would change and affect our lives. And again, in Psalm 139, verse 5, David is praising God, and he says, "You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me." God is our protector. He's fighting our battles in front of us, behind us, and he is right by our side through it all. He will never leave you nor forsake you. I like Sue's image last week of God before us on the rope bridge, or being before us on the narrow gate. God's already made a way for us, but he doesn't just say, "Oh yeah, there you go, I'll have a stab at that." He's with us in it all because he's a relational God. We can't flee from his presence even on the far side of the sea. And sure, we might not have armies chasing after us, but we all have challenges in our lives. But the truth is that he is your protector. He's in front of you, he's behind you, and he's right by your side through everything.
So I thought I would talk a little bit about identity in Christ and banishing lies. And I'd share a little bit about what I've been learning and what I've learned about this. So in a sentence, identity in Christ is being a unique child of God that he loves immeasurably. The biggest thing that gets in the way of believing this is lies. Lies about ourselves, believing what others say, believing what the enemy says through others over what God says. And answers to this are found in the Bible. For example, you are fearfully and wonderfully made, Psalm 139, verse 14. But what people think about us, it does matter. People say, oh, you know, it doesn't matter what people think of you. But as humans, we are susceptible to things that aren't true. And rightly or wrongly, it does matter, but it shouldn't. It shouldn't. I've been learning that if it's not what God says about you, it doesn't belong in your life. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't trust friends or family when they compliment you or when they give you encouragement. But if it's something that makes you feel negative, if it's something that makes you feel worthless or despair or insecurity, then you have the right to tell it to get gone, basically. That can be hard to hear and even harder to believe when there's times when friends and peers seem so much more present than God and so much more impactful and close. But it's important to remember that you just have to remember what God says about you. People are tempted to believe other people just to please them or just for the short term, and not to choose daily to accept who they are in Jesus and to live that out, no matter what that looks like. And that's really hard in a world that seems really far from God and seems to judge when people present who they believe they are in God as well. So taking part of God's identity and image is the individual bit that he's placed in each of us is part of what I think building the kingdom of God looks like, which is what we are called to do. And I think John 1:12 sums this up nicely, which we heard before. Yet to those who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So I'll leave you with this analogy. If you were going to buy a chair, I came up with this, so just bear with. If you're going to buy a chair, before you make the purchase or whether you're working out whether you want to buy it, who would you ask the questions about it? Who would you ask what it's made of, like how sturdy it is, what the measurements are? Yeah, the carpenter. Why is that? Because they're the one that made it. So the creator is the only one who knows the full truth about who you are, what you're made of, and what you're made for. So he's the one you've got to ask.
How good was that? There's loads of stuff there in there that they covered. And the challenge, I would say, is you can hear it just like I said the code, 2623, just so you remember if you see my car, and walk out and still be the same as when you arrived this morning. Or you can be challenged on what parts out of they said challenge you. Do you still have your identity in what you do? And it might be you don't normally, but there's just the odd little part that you need to grab hold of. It might be, and I love their honesty and their openness and what God's doing in their lives. And catching your identity changes everything. Changes everything. And it's something I think we have to keep going after. It'll be something that Satan keeps attacking and trying to rob us of. And something we have to keep going after. And that's the danger. We say we know this stuff, but how are we going to apply it that brings freedom? That's the challenge this morning. What out of what they've said, you're like, that's what I need to grab hold of. That's what I need to apply. So I'm going to change the order to what we planned, if that's all right. So we will get back into worship, but not quite yet. I think it'd be good to like respond now, if that's all right. So we're going to do things, as you noticed already, we're quite different. So we're going to carry on the thought of being different. I've wrote down like three things that, or maybe four, that we can respond to. And so the first one is identity. Do we need to take off, like the kids with the fancy dress, identity can be what in what you do. So the first challenge is, are there areas where your identity is and what you do that you need to take off? If there is, we would love to pray for you for that. So we'll have a little bit of chaos and then we'll go back into worship. So if that's your identity, there are some of those areas you want to take off, like you want to replace it with being a son, they're going to pray for you and would love to pray for you. Okay, so it means like you guys will have to like move and come down to us. But part of that is, and it happened for the young people at Soul Survivor, God deliberately, like, and through the way it was led, made people respond. And part of it is like, that's what you found key, wasn't it? It was by you guys having the guts to actually go forward. That's what helped bring the change. And so sometimes it is difficult, but actually the reason why it's difficult is that's part of the breaking free. The next one is dealing with the lies. I think the lies can rob. And so what we'd love to do is help deal with the lies. So I've got, James, in my bag, you should find some post-it notes or some paper. Just get some paper out. So if you've got lies, we'll put some paper and pens out the front. You can come and grab them. You can go back to your chair and write them down. And write down some of the lies. Yep. The paper I've got is rubbish, by the way. So it needs to go in the bin, hence why it's good for you to write on and chuck it away. So write down whatever. If it popped in that you're like, do you know what, I don't feel chosen, or these are some of the lies I believe about myself, write them down, fold them up, and then chuck them in a bin. I was going to bring a bin. There's a bin in there. Sam, do you want to go fetch the bin? Put it at the front. Okay. Then if you do that one, you might want to do number one and go and get prayed for your identity after breaking the lies. Or you might want to do this other one, which is, we'd love to pray for you. If you like some of the stuff they said this morning about being chosen or about the whole kind of intimacy with the Father and things like that, we've got some post-it notes that we would love to write some of the truths of who God says you are for you. So if that's you want to be prayed for and have like some of those truths, I want to actually apply them, we'd love to like stand with you and pray for you with that as well. So come out the front. And then the final one is, with some post-its, which I'll leave them out the front, is you can grab them and go and write a truth to someone else. If you like God's revealed who you think that person is and what he says about them, go and do that. So hopefully, out of those four things, there should be something that everyone in this room does. So it's slight chaos, but chaos is good. Is that all right? So, do you want me to recap so you know what they are? Ah, amazing. Thank you, Tim. Round of applause. So, because that's our heart. We don't want you to leave without the truth setting you free and seeing God do some awesome stuff, because he's done some awesome stuff in their lives. And if you chat to him afterwards, you'll find out more of what he's done in their lives. So, identity. If you want to change your identity, come down. We'd love to pray for you. Dealing with the lies. There's some pieces of paper. I've got loads of pens in my bag as well, that you can write the lies down, chuck them away in the bin. Then if you want some prayer, we'd love to pray for you. Truths from God of who he says, some post-it notes that we'll pray for you and write some truths, as well as it might be that you write it yourself and stick it on you, which might be brave to be like other people read what you've wrote on yourself. But actually, it's not arrogance believing who God says we are. That's the lie sometimes, isn't it? It's arrogance to go, you know, how can you say that? That's arrogant. Well, no, if God's given me that gift and he's created me and he's given me that identity, well, then me acknowledging it isn't arrogance. It's actually giving him the glory for who he's created me to be. So to say I'm a son. And to say some of the stuff I'm good at because he's made me that way gives him the glory. So you might actually stick a post-it note on yourself. And then the final one is truths about someone else. Come and grab a piece of paper, write something down, stick it on someone else. Is it possible to have some music on? Oh, cool. There you go. Best go play keys. Perfect. So I'm going to pray. Or does one of you lot want to pray? No? Hey? You're picking me. That's fine. I'll pray. So I'm going to pray and we'll all respond. Is that all right? Oh, loads of pens. Do you want to put the paper on there as well? So chaos is fine. So God, I thank you this morning. I thank you for the way the young people opened up and revealed what you've been doing in them and the change that knowing who you say they are brings and the freedom that brings. And it's not always easy to line up with that and change. And it's been a battle and it's been a process. But as they've cooperated with you, it's brought freedom in lots of different ways. And I pray for all of us this morning, we want to catch hold of something of who you say we are. All of us want to catch hold of something and see a breakthrough of being secure in an identity of who you say we are. So as we move into responding, Father, I pray that you speak to each person in this room to reveal what part they need to respond to. In Jesus' name, amen. So feel free to get up, move around. Young people will come out the front. Probably space-wise, yeah, over there's pretty good. So if you want some prayer, head that way. We've got our post-its and pens and everything at the front. It just needs some brave people to kick us off.